This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin and Xiaoning. Now, a meeting planned by Dongdong, the Chinese educationist group, which was slated to happen on Saturday, was instead cancelled after the police obtained a court order on Friday. So the police said that they ordered a court order for the sake of maintaining public order and safety.
Now, to recap, Dongdong had organised this meeting to discuss Jawi lessons in vernacular schools, as well as to find solutions to fears that such lessons could lead to Islamization. Now, the event garnered pushback from many Malay groups and leaders such as our Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir and even Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. The criticism centred around the idea that the Dongdong meeting would lead to protests, which actually might jeopardise public safety.
So joining us in studio this morning to help us unpack the events leading up to the Dongdong meeting cancellation, we have Nathaniel Tan, columnist and communications consultant, who also moderated the Jawi Forum last Thursday. Thank you very much for joining us, Nathaniel.
You're most welcome. Good morning.
So you wrote on Malaysia Kini that you're hopeful there will be some form of de-escalation or gesture on the part of Dongdong. Why do you seem to put the onus on them to respond to this?
A lot of people feel that Chinese schools are, vernacular schools are basically a bit of an impediment to national unity, mm-hmm. you know. And it's very common for people of our background to think, you know, it's as opposed to a single stream school system. You know, the more I've learned about them, I find that this is not the case. I feel that, you know, Dongdong, Chinese schools, they all have a, actually can have a very positive role to play in building national unity. A few weeks ago, they organized a Camp Muhibah, which they organized with the Malay Muslim grassroots organizations, ABIM, in order to try and bring kids together and things like that. So there's a lot of elements there that are positive, right? But when you organize an event like this, right, you know, I find that monoethnic discussions tend to create monoethnic solutions that work for one ethnic group or another, but maybe not for everybody else. You know, I think there's a lot of this sentiment of that you feel under siege, under attack, you know, and then you feel that you need to do something to show strength. I think this is very much similar to the backdrop that they had organizing the Malay Dignity Congress in October, you know, something very similar. And, you know, so once you get together with a group of people who all think like you, and you say, like, you know what we need to do? We need to organize something to kind of like show our strength, right? And once you do something like that, you announce something like that, you're kind of letting a genie out of the bottle, right? And it's a big, bold, dominating genie that, you know, covers the sky. You know, and after that point, almost anything you say, people don't pay attention to. You know, so in the Malay Dignity Congress, you have people swearing up and down, this is not a racist gathering, this is not a racist gathering. Nobody listens or will believe you. Nobody will buy that. You know, very similar for this particular Congress. You know, there are a lot of eloquent arguments, you know, that make a lot of sense, you know, about how this is, oh, we're not against Jawi, we're not against this, this is a closed off forum, and all legitimate points, right? But people don't listen to that. They only see the big bull genie, right? You know, there's a 16-page booklet that they released, right? You know, that quite frankly, you know, again, it's eloquent, it's articulate, but really nobody will read. You only see the big genie in the sky. Yeah.
So I guess, excuse me. So I guess this comes back to the other thing that you have said about the event, which is that Dongdong essentially lost control of the narrative around this event. So, you know, how do they come back from that, and perhaps how should they have been controlling the narrative in the first place?
Maybe I'll go a little bit back, you know, in terms of context and how this all came about and what we kind of learned from the forum that we organized last week. You know, like, have you ever had a really bad argument with your sibling, your spouse, your parent? You know, they're screaming, they're shouting, you're throwing things at one another. You know, then after the fight, you know, you remember for a long time the intensity, the anger, the hurt that you felt, but you also realize that you've kind of forgotten what you started fighting about, you know. You know, maybe the fight was sparked by, say, you know, somebody forgot to do the dishes or something like that, you know. But you didn't remember what the fight was, what started the fight, because deep down, you know, the fight isn't really about the dishes, you know. It's about underlying anger, frustration, resentment, maybe, that family members inevitably feel towards each other at one point or another, right? So, you know, I think many of us at the Jawi Forum last Thursday realized that the controversy going on right now was exactly like that, you know. It's not about 3 pages in the textbook. It's not even really about school boards or those rest kind of, you know, those
so
kind of
So it wasn't
issues.
About the teaching of Jawi at the end of the day?
I mean, you know, it's the teaching of Jawi is the dishes, right? It's the spark, you know, but really there's a lot of things that are underlying it, you know. I think what this is, at the end of the day, what all this is really, really about is how we feel about one another as Malaysians, you know. It's about what one panelist that night called a trust deficit and multiple other panelists that night, you know, basically said, boiled down to what was essentially intercommunal fear. you know, we could spend hours talking about the details and the nuances, but I think if we're being really honest with ourselves, underneath it all, you know, is what this problem really boils down to is how, in this case, you know, many Chinese feel that the Malays are out to get them, and many Malays feel that the Chinese are out to get them, you know. And decades of race-based politics has not only institutionalized racial animosity, it has just embedded it into our national psyche. You know, a few more years of this and being racist will be what defines being Malaysian. You know, when we changed government for the first time, a lot of us had really high hopes that this would be a huge turning point. It really was an incredible, massive opportunity to redefine that very elusive concept of what it means to be Malaysian and what it means to be Malaysians together. You know, 1.5 years in, I think the forum last Thursday night represented a realization that it's no longer wise to wait for politicians to define this for us. You know, I think our mistake was thinking that by changing the players, we would change the game. Mm. Turns out it isn't enough for the actors to swap roles if the script stays the same. If we really want to change, we need to change the game and the script. You know, in Malaysia, our very zero-sum type of political game incentivizes players to become race champions. You know, to climb on stages, give rousing speeches, beat our chairs, bang the table, and basically, you know, prey on and exacerbate people's fears. You know, last Thursday at the forum, we tried to turn this game on its head. You know, we said, instead of the type of oppositional culture that continues to flood and define our political landscape, we tried a collaborative approach. What if instead of constantly trying to push each other down in our attempt to climb up the ladder, we tried talking to one another, listening to one another, and helping one another up the ladder? You know, instead of that standard forum format, where, you know, each speaker gives their little mini trauma, trying to outshine and outdebate one another, we tried a format that was, you know, where panelists were asked to talk to each other, not talk at each other.
But I'm just curious, right? What was the comments from the Ministry of Education? Because there was a representative there, right? So it wasn't like as if the government wasn't represented. What was her point?
Well, I mean, one of the things the government likes to say, or, you know, and she represents the ministry, not
okay,
the politicians,
but the
right?
Ministry of Education.
There's a difference there, right? You know, but you know, she said that, you know, we've already made, you know, 5 changes to the original policy. You know, I think we've been very accommodating. You know, and there's no real need to be so provocative. And of course, they didn't really address the issues about, Dong Zhong wouldn't have been satisfied with their regards to the issue about the involving the school boards in the decision. And why you had to change from the standard 5 syllabus, which is multi, you know, had Chinese, Tamil, and Jawi taught together to a mono, just Jawi kind of thing. So those things were still up in the air. But I mean, I think the MOE representative, Dr. Habiba, was very professional, you know, gave a lot of insight into how things work over there. Yeah.
So I guess for a lot of people observing this almost standoff between Dong Zhong over the issue of Jawi, for a lot of people, the cancellation of this meeting wasn't really much of a surprise. So, I mean, what do you think this says about the Malaysian society? Does this reflect a lack of maturity in our ability to discuss things in an objective manner without perhaps resorting to essentially name-calling and all of the issues that you raised?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the context of how things played out, like I said, for a long time, I was writing that, you know, hey, maybe this type of event isn't the best kind of event to have. But, you know, of course, when the way it actually got cancelled, it's like, oh, you know, there were groups, Pakida type of groups that were threatening to have, you know, violent rallies and things like that. And then eventually the police stepped in and cancelled the event. You know, it's not an ideal de-escalation. Then it becomes a forced kind of thing, you know. Mm. So we haven't reached the place where, you know, where we are resolving things maturely or where we can negotiate this kind of thing, you know. So that's of course tragic. And you know, you never want to create a precedent or culture of giving in to bullies and things like that. I think that's a very real concern, you know. I think this is kind of a failure, kind of like from the start on many different levels. Yeah.
Because you would call into question, right, the rights about freedom of expression and the right to assemble, right? So whenever there's any kind of hint that there could be a threat, the police order comes in. I mean, is this the way forward for Malaysian society? What is it indicative of then?
I mean, that's obviously a very valid point, you know, and of course, you know, a lot of the left-wing progressive, like more liberals, that's the big thing that they're harping on is, oh, we really should have had this. You know, I mean, which again, it's this valid point, right? But I mean, I think in the grander context of Malaysia, and I think that's not the only thing to focus on, right? I mean, this problem, that's kind of a symptom, and the problem is rooted in many steps before. You know, it's at the point, you know, by to the 27th, you know, there's only so many ways the thing could, you know, the evening of the 27th, there's only so many ways this thing can go. And I mean, yeah, it becomes a lesser of available evils at that point. But like I said, there was a missed opportunity from months ago, like, basically.
So how then do we resolve this issue? How can it be How can the chapter be closed, or is this something that we're going to continue to talk about in 2020?
I mean, honestly, like my view as to like why this happens in the first place, you know, this comes back to how partisan politics, right? Whether it's intra-party, intra-coalition, or inter-coalition, this informs and shapes government policy. I mean, this 3 pages of Jawi, 6 pages of Jawi is really a minuscule. Many panelists made the point, it's, why are we arguing about this? Our education system is in tatters. The country is going nowhere. There's no direction.
There are bigger issues,
yeah,
right?
You know, but if the education minister belongs to like a Malay-only party, right? You know, and, the education minister, I think, is a much nicer guy and much more decent man than people give him credit to, right? But I think he's like sucked into the system and you have to do things in order to like prove to your base, or like, I'm more Malay, more Muslim than UMNO PAS and this kind of thing. So, you know, it's ill thought out, you know. So I think we need to go back to, yeah, going beyond the kind of partisan politics.
Okay, so now we have also been running a poll this morning on our BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking the question of what's the best way to talk about race and religion in Malaysia. So our options are forums and debates, through social media, through education, or maybe just don't talk about it. So Nathaniel, I just like to your quick take on this. Where would you stand on this poll? Which would you vote for?
Well, I 100% wouldn't vote for don't talk about it. I'm a little bit surprised that got so many votes. I mean, I think we do need to talk about it. And where we talk about it, I think, is really secondary. I mean, debates. People sometimes like debates, but I, like I said, the forum, we shied away from that format. You know, I think we've had enough of arguing with one another. It's not about proving your point, right? It's about trying to understand each other, you know, trying to achieve that most elusive of Malaysian emotional states, right, of empathy, you know, trying to understand where people come from, you know, and build bridges, connect. I think that's really important.
Absolutely. And thank you very much for joining us this morning, Nathaniel. We've been speaking to columnist Nathaniel Tan, who's also a moderator at the Jawi Forum recently. Now, right now we're heading into the 8 o'clock news. And after that, we've got the Breakfast Grill, where Roshan Kanesan takes a look at some of the conversations we've had over the past year about technology. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.